All right, continuing on, we're now joined by our race-winning driver of today's Straight Talk Wireless 500 at Phoenix Raceway and driver of the number 12 Team Penske Ford Mustang, Ryan Blaney. Ryan, it was a day of ups and downs coming back from two loose wheels, miring you back in the field, but ultimately you start off your first win of 2026, where you ended 2025 at with a victory as well. Just talk about how you ultimately accomplished that and were able to complete the weekend sweep for Team Penske.
Yeah, it's a day of perseverance, that's for sure. Just really fast early, was able to win the stage and then have, our issue on pit road and, kind of battle back from that, and then had another one and battle back from that one too. And, were able to overcome a lot of different things today. And all those guys did a good job of, learning from, hey, here's what we did wrong. Learning from them and moving on, and continuing to think about what's the next task, right? What's the next pit stop and stuff like that. So they did a good job of overcoming that. And Jonathan did a good job of throwing two on it there at the end and not getting the lead, but was able to get the lead after on the last restart and, just get far enough away from Bell to finish first. So definitely a long day, but really proud of everybody for keeping their heads down after, I think it's easy to kind of beat yourself up over that stuff and kind of take yourself out of the game. But, those guys just don't do that. Those guys' mentality are unbelievable, and this whole mentality on this 12 group is where it needs to be. So mainly proud of the effort from all those guys for fighting back like they did.
All right, we'll begin opening up to questions. We'll begin up front here. We'll go with Holly, Jeff, then Bob to start.
Congratulations, Ryan. I know that you guys obviously are highly motivated anyway, but when you have the kind of setbacks like you had today, is there another gear that maybe you put it into to like, all right, now I'm really fired up and we got to...
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I think so. It makes it easier or better when like our car was really good, right? So, but yeah, it does a little bit kind of kick you into another gear, but there's like a certain extent to it. You can't just go crazy, on the racetrack and like risk getting wrecked. So you still have to be methodical of how you go about things. But I just try to keep what is the end goal in mind and how do we get back to where we need to be. And when it happened to us, it was early enough in the race to where we still had enough, left to be able to try to get back up there before stage three. And we were able to do that. So it's not like it happened, with 80 to go, that's tough to recover from. So if it's going to happen, at least it's early. But yeah, I definitely think there's another gear, not only on my side, but like team side too. Like they kick into another gear too. Like, all right, we got to step it up here. And I think that's just sports. That's just teams. Yeah.
On the other side of that, I mean, the first one happens and you have to come back down pit road and you're like, we got this, guys, and you're able to come back through. But then it happens again and you had to go in 22 stall, fix it. How do you keep it together at that point and not just be like, dude, like, you guys are killing me here? Like, how were you able to be patient enough and calm enough to get yourself back up there?
Yeah, it's unfortunate you guys don't get any radio bits from that because I didn't say anything. It sucks for y'all, but I just try to be motivational. Hey, I mess up all the time. It's just part of it, and those guys have my back every single week. So when it goes the other way, like, we all have each other's backs. Like, hey, people make mistakes all the time, and it's just encouraging, to know, like, hey, it's okay. There's plenty of race left. We're gonna do it. We can get back in our groove, just learn from them and move on, So, yeah, I think we did a good job of just keeping everybody this steady in the ship. It's going to be okay. We can dig out of this hole. Our car was fast enough. Let's, learn from what we did that went wrong and let's move on, and they were able to do that very well.
Go ahead, Bob.
Bob Packers, Fox Sports. Are you going to make New Garden wear a Ryan Blaney shirt every race day?
Yeah. How about that? Joseph wearing a Ryan Blaney shirt, man. It was awesome. It was cool to have those guys, be on the same racetrack this weekend. Like that was a fun weekend for us. I love watching IndyCar racing. I cheer on Scotty and Joseph and David every single week. Like I just am a fan of that. And Joseph put the pressure on us yesterday, and he let us know that at our Penske dinner last night. He said, this weekend is going to be absolutely ruined if you guys don't do it on Sunday. So he put the pressure on us. So I was, you know, happy to do it today. It's always special to win for Roger, but on a weekend like this, you know, where he put a lot into having these two series together and it going the way it did, you know, up until today, for us to finish it out is definitely neat. But it was cool that those guys stuck around, right? All three of those guys stuck around today, and it was fun seeing them in victory lane too.
I don't know if they had a choice, but
oh yeah, they could have went home. They want to stay. They're race fans.
He says that he put the pressure on you, but did you really feel a lot of pressure or?
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. You don't mess it up. We had three out of the four boxes checked. We had IndyCar pole, Cup pole, IndyCar win. You got to finish it out, right? So yeah, I mean, there's like a little more internal pressure because you don't want to be the guys that don't finish out the whole weekend for RP.
Get a mic up here.
Susan Wade, Auto Week. To carry on further with that line of thinking, did you knew the other two were out, your two teammates are out. Did you feel that pressure on you even more? Do you not even know what they were doing?
I mean, not in the moment. Like, I talk about, like, there's more pressure on us to go win this race. Like, that's all, like, before the race. You know, during the race, you're trying to do the best you can to finish the best you can. You're not thinking about that stuff. But, yeah, it was unfortunate that you know, the 2 and 22 didn't finish, even the 21, you know, getting tore up there. I thought all our cars were really, really good, especially me and Joey. I thought me and Joey were top three cars. And, but yeah, I can't really necessarily say I thought about that in that moment. I just hated it for those guys that they weren't going to be able to finish after I thought they had pretty good days going.
Come to the middle here, and then we'll go back left to Noah.
Dominic Cotto going with the Racing Experts. Among some of the other milestones, too, this weekend, you tie Harry Gant, Jeff Bodine, Neil Bonnet, Casey Kane, Ryan Newman on the wins list, now among the top 50 in the all-time wins list for the Cup Series. Just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's neat. I didn't know that. I tied those guys, big fan of those guys. You know, obviously Neil Bonnet, I got to know a lot about him when I ran for the Wood Brothers. Eddie and Lynn had a lot of amazing stories about Neil. And, you know, obviously I grew up a huge Casey Kane fan. I got to race with Casey for a long time and loved him in the 9 days and, you know, things like that. And, yeah, I mean, just special to be part of the group of those guys with Cup wins. You know, just happy to be part of a group like that. It means a lot.
Go to Noah, then we'll go back to the right side of the room.
Noah Reed, Kenny Wallace Media. I want to kind of touch on what Bob mentioned with Joseph coming into the media center, and then obviously you mentioned he came in and kind of puffed his chest like, hey, you guys got to step up. You know, I don't know, have you had a chance to talk with Joseph in victory lane, or are you going to talk to him? What's that interaction going to be like now?
I didn't see Joseph after the race, but Scotty and David came to victory lane. Yeah, they were just pumped up, right? It's a good job, stuff like that. And then they, you know, kind of went on their way. They didn't want to, you know, hang around too long. But yeah, I just, you know, we root for each other. I went to victory lane yesterday for Joseph and just, you know, hung out there, like, said good job to him and David, who was third. Saw Scotty, like, all of us root for each other. And it's a pretty cool team dynamic that we have. So yeah, I'm sure Joseph has texted me. I haven't looked at my phone yet, but it's cool to have those guys hanging around with us and in victory lane and pumped up for each other. That's a cool driver lineup on across series that Roger has assembled, that we're all rooting for each other and get along very well.
And then when Jonathan came in here a few minutes ago, he said it was really neat to be able to give Roger something he hadn't done before, to win an IndyCar race and a NASCAR race at the same track at the same weekend. When you look at it from that perspective, how much more important is this to you to give that to Roger?
I didn't know that was the first time. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's you always, like I said earlier, you always want to win for Roger. And it's always special when you do, and just to be, especially when he's here and you get to, you know, see him and things like that. And it was really cool. I was watching it. I watched the whole IndyCar race with Roger yesterday and it's up in his suite, and he knows everything that's going on. He's jumping up and down and, oh, these guys are pitting. And he knows everything that's going on. And it was cool it was my first time I did that with him, because we haven't, you know, we don't really have these IndyCar NASCAR crossovers. So it was cool to just sit next to him, and he is 100% knows everything that's going on. And so I could only imagine today how excited that suite was when he was sitting in his chair and we got the lead. But yeah, it's,
there's not a lot of things that Roger hasn't done, and it's really cool to add to it. I was really fortunate to be a part of the Coke 600 and Indy 500 sweep a few years ago with me and Joseph, and it's cool that we could add another milestone to Roger, especially in the 60 year anniversary. This is a special year for everybody, and it's nice that we can get our first win of the year and something, you know, new that we haven't done before.
Come over here to the side of the room.
Z Felix, Berea Vision Deportes. My question is, so there was 12 yellow flags, which ties the records here in Phoenix Raceway. How does that affect you and your strategy out there on the track?
Yeah, there's a lot of varying strategies for sure. You know, you saw, I think for a while, like, we were kind of nervous of, at least I was like, we might run out of tires. Like, we're going to have to be pretty methodical of how we, you know, pit and take tires and stuff like that. And we ended up, you know, having to use it. We kind of burned our scuffs early in stage two, which I thought was a good call to have stickers for the end of the race. So yeah, you just never know when they're going to fall. I think there was a lot of tire failures today that were a lot of cautions, but then like restart wrecks, I think, were common. So yeah, it definitely switches it up. Like, and that's what, you know, crew chiefs are really good at, right? That's they understand, here's our pit window. This is the ideal one. But if we get a caution at this lap, what do we want to do? You know, how do we think? Do you want to gamble and stay out? You saw some guys, I think the 6 and the 60 stayed out one run. It actually wasn't very good. I think they were trying to save a set. You saw guys do 2 at one point. It actually held on pretty good. So I think it really benefited us to do 2 at the end, because we saw how good a handful of those guys who did 2 earlier, they kind of hung on. So it gave us some more confidence. So it's funny, this stuff, like, you have your plan initially of like your perfect race strategy, but it never goes that way. And you have to audible all the time. So that's what Jonathan does a really good job at, is thinking outside the box and never getting too locked into anything. He's very open-minded.
Come to Brian over here now.
Brian Twining, Bleacher Nation for Best Sports Media. First of all, congratulations, Ryan. You mentioned the tire situation and the worries about possibly running out. How much of that would you attribute to the increased temperatures on the track versus the increased horsepower in the cars?
Yeah, I mean, they would drive pretty bad. Like, you could wear them out pretty easy. I know at the end of that first stage when we went 60 straight, like, you got guys hanging on. I was hanging on, and I was leading. Like, I, you know, so it was, they were pretty tough to drive. Tire management was a big part of it. As far as the tire failures go, it's just people pushing air pressure. You know, I mean, when tires wear out a lot, people are going to push air pressure. You know, how low can we get? And then you're going to see blowouts, right? So it's that fine line of what's the basement without having a problem. But honestly, I thought it was a great tire. I thought the added horsepower was good. We're creeping up on it. Like, hopefully we get a little bit more, you know, going forward. I always think that's good, especially for, you know, you have comers and goers and stuff like that. But yeah, I thought the tire was pretty good. I didn't have a blowout today. I bet the guys who blew tires out say it was shit. But I thought it wore really good. Like, you could make it angry and you could pay the penalty for it at the end of a run. And I thought the added horsepower kind of stepped that up too, with you could really buzz the right rear if you weren't careful.
And then we'll come to the far right side of the room.
Hi, Brooklyn Grizel, NAZ Sports. You've mentioned a little bit about like race strategies and making adjustments, especially with this race. Obviously, you have your team in your ear, but when it's that moment and you're in the car and it's just you, how do you kind of mentally prepare for making those split second decisions? Pardon me. When it's just you in your head.
As far as like making adjustments to the car and stuff?
Yeah, making adjustments like kind of with your team, but kind of like thinking it's just me in here.
Yeah.
It's my job.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan and I have always had a good conversation of, I can only give him what I'm feeling, right? Hey, I need more of this. I need my car to turn better. I need to have more rear grip in these certain parts of the racetrack. Here's how much I need. And that stuff gets better with time. Like, he kind of understands, and the strain in my voice of like, he needs more than, you know, maybe other instances. So all I can do is I just give him information of what I need. And then he goes to work on figuring out what he wants to do. Is it air pressure? You know, is it wedge? Is you going to put a, you know, a round in the left rear, right rear, like something like that. So I'm just an information giver, you know, and trying to tell him how much I need, and then he is the adjustment guru. So it's a fun dynamic kind of going that. And like I said earlier, it gets better with time as you work with a crew chief like that, because you understand each other's kind of vocal tones. He'll know if I, you know, if I say like, I'm a little free, but I'm kind of frustrated saying it, he knows I need a bigger change than what I'm actually saying. So that stuff is a fun thing to work out with driver and crew chief of figuring out what you need to change when it comes down to it. It's very important.
All right, any additional questions for Ryan today? We'll take one final one from Cole over here.
Cole Cusimano with AC Central. Ryan, congrats. First win as a father. Curious if you got a call, a freeze time or anything from your family and what that was like.
I'm sure I have. I don't have my phone with me. It's in the bus. But you know what? You just reminded me. I'm in trouble. I forgot to FaceTime Gian in Victory Lane. And a load hurt when I get back to my phone. Yeah, just run back there really fast. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm in trouble. So, yeah, cool. Just processing this. I think it. You know, it's unfortunate they're not here. Obviously, it would have been really cool to have Gianna and Charlie here. You know, just to be there with them and have a photo and stuff like that. But look forward to getting home tonight and seeing them. And, you know, it just changes your perspective. You know, like whenever I get home Sunday nights and see her and him, it just completely changes everything. You know, it's just like, and you know, for days like today, like it's just a cherry on top, you know. So really, really, really lucky to have a healthy son and a healthy wife. And, you know, hopefully we can do it at some point where they're here. So, yeah, pretty cool.
Thank you.
All right, on that note, Ryan, congrats on the win today, and good luck in Vegas next week.
Thanks.